Look at Psalm 124. Psalm 124. I do want to comment that the pastor's right. If you're here and struggling, not settled, don't leave. Give you a quick illustration. You know that rich young ruler Brother Bell mentioned, I call him Doug, I shouldn't. Brother Bell, Pastor Bell, mentioned that he was talking about the theme of the meeting, talking about the love of God. And if you read there in Mark 10, the Lord, when that young man come running to Jesus, "Good Master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" He had two problems. One is he really didn't believe Jesus was good. And the other is he believed he was good. He believed he could do something good to earn a place in heaven, to be right with God, that he could do something to make himself right with God. And the Lord told him, "Thou knowest the commandments." And boy, if he wore suspenders, he'd probably pull them out. "You know, all these have I kept from my youth. What do I yet lack?" And you read there in Mark's Gospel, it says that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Knowing everything about him, knowing how arrogant he was, how self-centered he was, how much he thought about himself, but the Lord looked on him and loved him. The tragic part is, this young man went away sorrowful. The waters were stirred. His heart was troubled. There was conviction there as the preacher preached. But you never read where he got another chance, where there was ever another offer. You heard it plain tonight. I wouldn't leave the way I come. I wouldn't put it off. Amen. Well, Psalm 124, read with me from verse 1. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say." If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Father, we are thankful for the privilege to be in this meeting. We thank you for the message that's already been proclaimed. I pray, God, it bear fruit, that you continue to bear upon that one that needs to make certain where they're at, where they're headed. I pray that you'd help us. You gave liberty to the first man. And Lord, I need liberty. I pray you'd make the preaching time easy. I pray every heart be open. Lord, we want to be a help and encouragement to the child of God, but at the same time bring forth a challenge. And we'd plead one more time for that lost sinner that they'd come before it's too late. Pray you'd bless the remainder of the meeting. Lord, there's big things planned. I pray you'd sow yourself big for the church, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I read the whole psalm, just 8 verses. There's a caption on the psalm, and I know the body of the text is the inspired Word of God, but there's a caption on the psalm. The caption says, "A Song of Degrees of David." Now, if you know your Bible and where I'm at, there are 15 of what they call a song of degrees. From Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, they are all referred to as a song of degrees. Most of them simply say a song of degrees. A couple of them will say a song of degrees of David, as this one right here. Amen. Now, why is the caption important? Well, we know it's the Word of God that God uses. It's the Word of God that convicts the sinner. It's the Word of God that changes the saint. Amen. Okay. But the caption is there to help us understand the setting of the song. Okay? Now, the number 15, I tried to read up and different ones said different things. You know, I think a lot of times nobody comments because nobody really knows. Amen? Okay? But most of them said something about 15 steps leading up to one of the gates in the temple. And that may be so, but it's not relevant to what I want you to see in the psalm, okay? But now that word degrees is relevant. It says, a song of degrees of David. Now, words have meaning. You know that, okay? And that word degree, it has to do with heights. It has to do with ascension.
Yes, sir.
Amen? It has to do with being lifted. Now, you can get you a good dictionary, 1828, or a good dictionary, and it'll point these things out, okay? But now, why is that important? Why is this thought of being lifted important? Why is that thought of ascension important, okay? Running a little ahead of myself, but I'll go ahead and comment. It's because of the fact that the devil wants to keep you beat down. He wants to keep you defeated. He wants to keep you disheartened. Now, when you think about that word degrees, I can give you a couple illustrations to bring out that thought about ascension. We were hit with this COVID virus. I believe the government overreacted. That's my opinion, for what it's worth. Amen. I don't think it was as drastic, and I'm not making light. People have died from it. Many have gotten very bad cases of it, amen. So I'm not making light of it, okay? But now, when you think about that word degrees, this setting that we're in with this COVID, if you have a doctor's appointment or some kind of appointment like that where you're going into a building, they'll meet you at the door and they'll check your temperature. Thank you, preacher. So y'all can help too, okay? And your temperature is measured in degrees, okay? And you're said to have a temperature if your temperature is up, if it's risen, if it's ascended. Amen? You're said to have a temperature if your temperature has risen, if it's lifted. Okay? I'll give you a second illustration. A lot of people try to better themselves through education. Amen. Okay. I like to use a little humor. I think it helps. I'm not a comedian. I'm not doing stand-up. But you think about this. I used to be asked, did I have any degrees? And I'd tell them, yeah, 98.6. And they said, no, do you have any degrees? They were meaning, had I been schooled, you know, had I earned a piece of paper, amen, okay? But now if you're trying to better yourself through education, if you complete the courses and pass the courses, they'll give you a degree, meaning that you've lifted yourself from where you were, amen, okay? You've tried to rise, you've tried to lift yourself, amen, be it an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree or master's or a doctorate. There's some out here that are doctors. There's Dr. Shepherd's back there. There's probably others as well. Amen. You haven't gotten yours yet, have you? You're down here with me on that bottom rung. Amen. Amen. Okay. But it indicates that you lifted yourself. Amen. I'll give you a third illustration. Altitude is measured in, and the higher you go up, the higher the degree. So it has to do with being lifted, has to do with ascension, it has to do with rising. Okay? Now, Psalm 24 in particular, it's a psalm where David declares to you and I that we have an enemy. Amen? And that enemy is trying to beat you down. Now, here in the context, it's talking about the nation of Israel, that the old devil fought Israel tooth and nail from the beginning of Jacob's 12 sons up until right now. The old devil's tried to destroy Israel and do away with Israel, but Israel's still the apple of his eye. God preserved the nation of Israel. Amen. Okay. But now, in this age of grace that we're in, this New Testament church age, that the devil also attacks the church. He attacks the man of God. If he can beat down the man of God, if he can get the man of God to quit, he can pull down a lot more with him. Amen. Okay. But you've got a special target on your back. The preacher's already touched on some of it. I'm not going to re-preach his message. But you've got a target on your back. The devil's, he's wanting to destroy you. Amen. Okay. Now, the devil has a strategy, has a game plan. It's where Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He says, we're not ignorant of his stratagems. We're not ignorant of his devices. Okay. Amen. Now, the devil's game plan, basically, listen now, if you're here and you're that lost person that the preacher was preaching to, the devil's game plan is to keep you deceived. He works overtime trying to keep you deceived. He'll deceive you to the way of salvation. He'll deceive you to your need of salvation. He'll get you to swallow a counterfeit. Amen. But his whole goal is to keep you deceived. Amen. But now, for the child of God, where he works with you and I is he works hard to keep us disheartened. And the whole purpose is he wants to detour us from the will of God. Amen. If he can detour us, boy, it'll do a lot of harm to the lost. It'll do a lot of harm to young Christians. Amen. So it works hard to try to detour us from the will of God. You see it in your Bible with an example of Balaam and Balak. Balak hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel. And Balaam, that hireling prophet, when he got the higher bid, he finally went, and he had him to go through the motions of building 10 altars and offering sacrifices, and then Balaam pronounced a blessing, and Balak runs up and says, I hired you to curse them, and he took them and flanked them another direction, and they offered again the sacrifices, and again Balaam pronounced a blessing, and again Balak says, I hired you to curse the children of Israel. So they flanked him again. It's a picture of what the devil does with you and I. He'll keep flanking you, and the whole thing is to misdirect you, to get you out of the will of God. Now, Balaam couldn't curse the children of Israel, but what Balaam did do is he got them turned from God, where they intermingled and intermarried with the Moabites, to where God had to bring the hammer down on his own people. Amen. And that's what the devil wants to do with you. He wants to detour you from the will of God, and he's working hard to do it. Now, if I can borrow just a little bit of your message and you not be offended, amen, okay. And he was talking about the flesh. When you think about how the devil operates, he's observed man for some 6,000 years. Now, if you didn't pick up on that, I believe in a literal six-day creation. Amen. Okay. But he's observed man for 6,000 years. He knows how to trip up man. Okay. Amen. But it's pretty basic what he does. First John 2:15 tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is of the world, and the world passeth away. Right. Amen. He uses those three things.
Yes.
What he does is he uses the weakness of our flesh, with combined with the allurements of the world, and the whole purpose is to devour us, to detour us, to destroy us, to get us out of the will of God. Amen. And he's working hard to do it. Can I come in a little bit more on that? When you think about those three things, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, nobody is exempt from the devil's attacks. Now, when I say that, somebody will come up and say, well, you know, you're not all that important where the devil's going to bother you. Well, he sure got a lot of them little devils around. Amen. Okay. Amen. But now when you think about it, the young person, you young people, listen, I'm trying to pick my words. The young person has trouble with the lust of the flesh. That David had that problem. Amen. Now, what are you getting at, preacher? David's problem began when he got out of place. Your problem will begin when you get out of place. The whole purpose of the COVID, church wasn't essential. The bar was essential. The abortion clinic was essential. Home Depot was essential. Walmart was essential. But the church wasn't essential. The devil wanted to get you out of place. If he could get you out of place, he'd get you out of the will of God. Well, David got out of place. What do you mean? 2 Samuel 11. David stayed home from battle at the time when kings were to go off to battle. I can hear my mama growing up when I was a boy. She'd say, son, every time you get in trouble, it's because you were someplace you shouldn't have been. Out of place. Out of place. The devil wants to get you out of place, young people. Amen. The preacher preached on your friends. You need to make certain who your friends are. They'll get you out of place. Amen. Well, David got out of place, and when David got out of place, the old devil had the snare waiting for him. Bathsheba. Okay? You know, we talk much about the adultery, and it's terrible. But the worst thing about what David did is he caused the heathen nations to blaspheme his God. That's what's so bad about you getting out of place. Amen? Okay? But now, the young person has a problem with the flesh. Young person burns in his flesh. I'm using Bible terms. Okay? That's why Paul wrote to the church of Corinth that it's good for a man to marry rather than to burn. See, God made a way for that flesh to be fulfilled. That's in a marriage union. One man with one woman. Amen. Hey. That'll take care of that flesh problem. That part of the flesh problem. Amen. Okay. All right. Then David, he's detoured by the lust of the flesh. But now, Achan was detoured by the lust of the eyes. See, after you get married and you have a couple of children, we had six, and I thought we had a lot. Amen. But we had six, and what happens is, you see what grandpa and grandma has, you see what mom and dad has, and you think you ought to have everything that took them 50 years to get, mom and dad 30 years to get, amen. And boy, the world helps you in that. If you watch any television, they're always coming up with these things, you know, something you can't live without. They call it as seen on TV, something you can't live without. And what'll happen is, they'll sell it. You can get it right now for $19.95. If you call in the next little bit, we'll send you two for the same price. Just pay an extra fee. They're getting you to get something you don't need.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You see it on you billboards. You've got to have this new shiny automobile, or you've got to stay in this resort, or are you getting the... Hey, and they'll work it out for you. You know, you can get it for nothing down and just a little bit each month. And before you know it, you've got more months than you do money. Amen. More payments going out in the month than what you've got money to cover. And that whole purpose is to detour you. Hey, if you're heavily indebted in the world, you won't have money to be able to serve God. Listen to me. Amen. But Achan, now you remember, all the spoil of Jericho was to go to the Lord's treasury. And Achan saw a Babylonish garment, a wedge of gold, and some shekels of silver, and he took them unto himself. Once he took them, he couldn't wear the garment, couldn't use the gold, couldn't spend the silver, buried him in the floor of his tent. Hey, he was overcome by the lust of the eyes. Amen. Yeah. Hey, you're not exempt. You're not exempt. Young person, it's the flesh, more than flesh. Middle age, it's the lust of the eyes. But then, hey, when you get some years on you, they were talking about the silver hair and the white hair and no hair. And I mean, we get some age on us. Amen. Okay. Well, where we've got to guard ourselves is in the fight of life.
Right.
That's what happened to old King Saul. King Saul started out small, started out humbly, though he was a big man, stood head and shoulders above all the other children of Israel. Amen.
Right.
He started out very humbly, but it did not take him long to get caught up in the pride of life. 1 Samuel 13, he didn't have to wait on Samuel.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
He was king.
Yeah.
He was king. He didn't have to wait on Samuel. Amen. 1 Samuel 15, Samuel told, through the Lord's instruction, told Saul to go and wipe out the Amalekites, to kill them all. And Saul, he was king. He could pick out how he wanted to do it, how much he wanted to do it, what he wanted to do with it. Amen. God said, kill them all. God said, kill them all. Amen. Hey, he brought back the best of the sheep and the best of the cattle, brought back the king, and then he's caught up. How he'd done the will of the Lord. Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleeding of the sheep? Amen. Hey, you get some years on you, you think you've arrived. No. We've got to guard against the old flesh. You get caught up in the pride of life and God will shelve you. God will be all done with you. Amen. You'll be toast. You'll be history. You'll just be waiting for that ride on home. Amen. Amen. Well, the old devil, he's going to work your whole lifetime from the point you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior to the time you die or the Lord takes you out. By the rapture, hey, you're going to battle that old flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Now, the old devil wants to beat us down. But now I've got good news. We're on the winning side. Amen. I got news for the old devil. God is on our side. Amen. What does it say there in Romans chapter 8? If God be for us, who? You tell me. Who can be against us? Amen. Hey, the Lord's on our side. We're on the victory side of this thing. Glory to God. Hey, child of God, we're not going down. No. We're going up. The old government can't close you. The old devil can't stop you. Hey, we're on the winning side of this thing. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Now I've got four or five little thoughts I want to give you in the message. You thought that was it, didn't you? Some of you don't know me. I have a brother, that brother knows me. I have a long introduction. Amen. Amen. Let me run these things by you. Amen. Okay. When you think, keep in mind now, we're on the winning side, okay? Alright. Now, look at verse 1 again. If, somebody said that's a big word. If, that is a big word, okay? But now notice, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Now, did you ever stop to think God only has to say something one time and it's so? One time and it's true. One time it's the Word of God. Amen. But He comes back with the same phrase in verse 2. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Amen. Hey, God is on our side. Now, let me run these points by you and we'll go back and eat some chicken. Amen. Amen. Hey, what's the first thought? If it had not been the Lord, Adam would have died in his sin. Amen. When you think about what happened, Adam knew what God said. God said explicitly, plainly, said, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, Adam, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. See, friend, you're not a sinner by what you do. You're a sinner by birth. You were born separated from God. Adam became a sinner. You're born a sinner. Okay? But now, Eve was beguiled. We know that. Eve was beguiled. You ladies, I know we're in this feminist thing where, women want to be like men. Good night. Why would you want to be like some ugly old man? But the woman's the weaker vessel. Okay? The old devil. You read there where God saw everything that He had made, that it was very good. And wherever God blesses, the devil slithers in. The old serpent got in and beguiled Eve and shade of the fruit. That's another whole message. Then Adam was confronted. Eve, handed in the fruit. And he was talking about choice. He was confronted with a choice. Adam ate the fruit, chose to die. Boy, there's another whole message. Glory to God. Amen. This book, somebody says, I'm having trouble getting something to preach. Woo! My. Amen. This book is rich. Amen. Okay. But Adam ate of the fruit, and right then Adam died spiritually. I talked about Adam ate of the fruit and died, and somebody came up and said, preacher, he lived another 930 years. And I said, yeah, he was a walking dead man. Amen. He died right then when he ate of the fruit. Now, Adam had changed. But listen to me. God hadn't changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. What do you mean, preacher? God came in the cool of the day. That's what He'd been doing. Amen. God still came. God came in the cool of the day as He'd always done. God had not changed. Adam had changed. Boy, his eyes were opened. He knew he was naked. He knew he'd sinned against God. That they sold them fig leaves together, type of self-righteousness. Amen. And God said, that won't do. But He called out to Adam, Adam, where art thou? Now, God knew where he was. You know that. God wanted Adam to know where he was. Amen. Adam had to wake up and see where he was. Amen. But now, once they had become sinners, there was not one thing they could do to change it. There was not one thing they could do to make themselves right. You know, verses after verses. We're not justified by the deeds of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is gift of God, not of works. Amen. Well, Adam's hiding. God had not changed. God still came in the cool of the day. God called out to Adam. Adam had to see where he was. Then God slew the animals. God took and shed the blood. And God clothed them in those skins of those animals. Amen. Amen. Now, if it had not been for God, if it had not been for the Lord, hey, there'd have been no human race. It ended with Adam and Eve. You're right. Amen. Hey, we wouldn't be here. If it had not been for the Lord, we would not be here. There'd be no human race. Adam would have died in his sin. But God. Amen. I like that verse. Can I run that one? I like this one. Ephesians 2. We like verses 8 and 9. Verse 1 says, "But you hath he quickened, which were dead in trespasses and sin." That's where we were. We were dead in sin. Then he draws us a picture. I was children of darkness and children of wrath. And nothing lovely about us. And after he shows us what we are, then it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." Amen. Glory to God. Well, I felt something on that one. Woo! Amen. Well, if it had not been the Lord, Adam would have died in his sin. How about this one? Again. If it had not been the Lord, Noah would have drowned in the flood. Amen. Do you ever stop to read Genesis 6 and think about this? How the imaginations of men's heart were filled with evil continually, and it grieved God that He'd made man. That was Noah's generation. Boy, some of you are looking at me strange. Noah lived in that generation. That was his generation. Noah was part of that. Amen. Now, when I think about the imaginations, when it says that it grieved God, that He made men, I don't believe it was just that men were drunkards or dope heads. No, I believe that even the good things man was coming up with was taking him away from God. I don't think Noah's days was as backward as everybody thinks. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of... Amen. What do you mean? Well, you think about just... I'm talking about let's pick a number. The last 100 years. The advances that man's come up with. Boy, you could even do it better. You could say in the last 10 years. But you can even do it more. You can say in the last year. But everything man comes up with, man doesn't think he needs God. I'll illustrate. When they first come out with a computer, it lined the wall. And you had ladies that punched holes in these cards. And then they fed them cards in that computer. Well, they got more on the head of a pin now. I mean, some of you got smartwatches. Mine's still dumb. It don't even talk. I have to read it. It doesn't tell me anything unless I read it. Amen. But you got more in your watch than they had in line in the wall. Amen. But it takes man away from God. It takes man away from God. Amen. Noah was in that. That was his generation. Then somebody says, "But Noah walked with God." Oh, you're leaving out something. Genesis 6:8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Then Noah walked with God. What do you mean? I'm not a Calvinist, okay? But God didn't pick Noah because he's this lovely fellow.
Right.
Amen? Okay. God didn't pick you because you're such a great, great guy. Amen? Okay. But now, God separated Noah, charged him to build the ark, gave man that space of time of 120 years to build the ark. Okay? But now, if it had not been for the Lord, there'd be no Noah.
Right.
There'd be no one building an ark.
Right.
And again, there'd be no human race.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. Amen? Hey, I'm trying to wake us up. Hey, this thing's never been about us.
Yeah.
It's always been about Him.
Yeah.
It's always what He's doing.
Yeah.
You'd still be another building if it wasn't for the Lord. Amen. Well, if it hadn't been for the Lord, Adam would have died in his sin. Noah would have drowned in the flood. Now, this one you might get a little antsy. Okay? If it hadn't been for the Lord, Lot would have burned up in the city. Amen. You and I read about Lot. I have to be honest. When I read about Lot, I don't see anything. I have to go to Peter and take the Lord's word on Peter. That Lot vexed his righteous soul with their ungodly deeds. Because what I read in Genesis, Lot sat in the gate. You remember how God sent Abraham, the men to Abraham, and the Lord came with the angels, the two men. And those two men went to deliver Lot.
Right.
But Abraham begins to barter with God. Lord, if there be 50 righteous, we'll destroy the city. Gets him all the way down to 10. And Abraham's thinking, surely Lot's... There's got to be 9 more besides Lot. Surely. No. It wasn't. It was Lot. And that was it. Okay. Well, those two men went in to bring Lot out. Lot's wife's heart was in Sodom. She turned, looked back. Them two daughters knew nothing about Lot's God. You know, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Amen. Okay. Hey, Lot would have burned up in the city. Now, what was Lot's sin? What was his sin? We know that the sin of the city cried up before God. Okay. Now, Lot wasn't one of them. Okay? Lot wasn't a Sodomite.
Right.
Lot had a wife and children.
Right.
His daughters had husbands.
Right.
The older ones. Amen? My point is, not everybody in Sodom was a Sodomite.
Right. Right.
I dare say probably most of the people weren't Sodomites. What was the problem then? They tolerated it. They tolerated it. You know what's wrong with our nation? We're tolerating it. It's a minuscule part of our population. When I was a boy, they were in the closet. Somebody said they've always been around. They've always been around. Yeah, but they's in the closet. If they came out of the closet, Barbara says, don't say it, don't say it. If they came out of the closet, we gave them rights, gave them lefts too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, there was something funny about that.
Right.
Amen. Hey, one ran for president.
Come on.
Some of them sitting in the cabinet.
Yeah, right.
Some of them might be mayors.
Yeah.
One in Chicago is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Bobby says, you're going to end up in jail. I have an inside ministry. Brother Pistol, come visit me. Hey, get serious though. If it hadn't been for the Lord, Lot wasn't thinking about God. Lot, he had it made. God brought him out. God brought him out. Hey, it goes all the way through the book. Okay? Hey, if it had not been for the Lord, Israel would have perished in the famine. Remember Joseph? How that his brothers hated him. He shared the dream. Told them what God said. Joseph showed up to his brothers and they had killed him, but Reuben stayed their hand. They put him in the pit. From the pit, he's brought out by the Ishmaelites and sold the Midianites and sold to Potiphar. Wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. He ends up in the prison. He interprets the butler's dream and the baker's dream, and the butler forgets him for 2 years. And then Pharaoh has a dream. If it had not been for the Lord. Pharaoh has a dream. And the butler says, oh, much to my shame. There's a Hebrew boy in prison. God's on him. He can interpret dreams.
Amen.
They brought him up and cleaned him up and brought him before Pharaoh. And he told Pharaoh there'll be 7 years of prosperity, followed by 7 years of famine so severe will not even seem like you had those prosperous years.
Right.
And Pharaoh said, that's pretty good. You're second in command. Now, the 7 years of prosperity came and went. The 7 years of famine began. And Jacob sends his boys
right.
to fetch corn. They heard there's corn in Egypt. That's another whole message. You know how that plays out. Joseph doesn't make himself known the first time, and he keeps Simeon and
right.
tricks him into bringing the brother. And then that second time, he finally reveals himself to his brothers. And then they go back and they fetch Jacob, and they bring him back to Joseph. And then at the end of Genesis, Joseph's now 110 years old, and he says, "I die." Okay, and they'd already buried Jacob, their father, and then brothers come now, said, about this thing about when we put you into that pit.
Right.
And Joseph said, that's okay.
Right.
You meant it for evil,
right.
but God meant it for good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes,
hey, if there'd been no Joseph,
right.
there'd been no Joseph, there might not have been a human race.
Right.
This thing's all about him.
Yes,
had not been for the Lord. Hey, they'd all died in that family.
Yes, right.
Amen. You can go on. If it hadn't been for the Lord, they'd have died servants to Pharaoh in Egypt.
Right.
When they finally bought him out, isn't that something? You gotta come to the end of the line.
Yes.
You gotta bought him out.
Yep.
When Israel finally bought him out, began to cry out for deliver. Some 80 years prior, God had already set the wheels in motion with the birth of Moses. Amen. I hope you're seeing what I'm saying. This thing's all about Him. It's always been about Him. If it had not been for the Lord, glory to God. Amen. Well, I've rambled long enough. Let me give you a couple last thoughts, okay? We can go on through this book. All right? Let me give you this. All right? And you may not agree, but if it had not been for the Lord, there'd be no United States. Listen to me. God kept this part of the world hidden for some 5,500 years. Amen. Now, somebody's going to say there were Indian tribes. I understand that. There were Indian tribes that had settled, migrated over, and came down, descendants of Shem. Okay? Amen. But as far as the civilized world, quote-unquote civilized world, they knew nothing of this part of the world. God kept it hidden. Amen? Now, what happened was, that God's people began to be persecuted. God's people had no place. God's people had no liberty. There was nowhere they could worship God. Every time they turned around, they're thrown in prison, they're burned at the stake. They dig up the bones and burn them. Amen. I mean, there was government intervention, there was mainline religion, persecuting the church. Amen. I mean, God's people had no place. They kept moving. They were looking for somewhere where they could have liberty to worship God. Well, after that 5,500 years, a man named Christopher Columbus, I said he's going to set sail. He's going to head out. Now, if he'd have listened to science back then, he'd have never set sail. You know, everybody says, listen to science. Listen to science. The scientists thought the world was flat.
Right.
You're welcome.
Right.
Dr. Fauci, too. You're welcome.
Yep.
Amen. Hey, they thought the world was flat.
Yep.
They said, you're gonna fall off the edge. You're going to sail out there and fall off the edge. But old Christopher Columbus set sail, discovered this part of the world, then they began to come over. They'd scrape up all their monies and hire a ship to come over. That Mayflower that came over, that Mayflower Compact.
Yep.
Hey, that thing all through it. It talks about God.
Yep.
They wanted to worship God. They wanted to make a compact with God. They wanted a place where they could worship God. Amen.
Right.
They settled Plymouth Rock.
Yep.
A lot of them died on the journey over. A lot more died that first winter. After that first harvest, they had a day of thanks. It wasn't because they was watching football. I mean, they were thankful they had a place. The first building they built was a church house. Are you listening to me? Hey, they claimed this part of the world for God. Hey, God let this part of the world be settled for His people. It wasn't settled for the freedom of religion. It was settled for a place for God's people.
Amen.
Amen. World War II, the boys went off to war. The Greatest Generation, my dad was part of that. But the problem is, the boys brought back the strange gods.
Right.
And things have not been the same since World War II. You're welcome.
Right.
Amen. Hey, this place wasn't established for you to have whatever religion you wanted. I'm of the firm belief, if you do not want our God, don't come here.
Amen.
Stay in your land.
Amen.
We don't want your gods.
Amen.
No, no, no. This land's for God's people.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Amen.
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 That's why the government has no business shutting down the church.
Amen.
Isn't it strange how they talk about separation of church and state? Until the state wants to control the church.
Right.
What happened to separation?
Right.
Amen. Then somebody said, well, you shouldn't preach about politics. Hey, y'all listen to them forefathers.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hey, there'd have been no Revolutionary War. It wasn't for the forefathers.
Yes.
What was that war about? Liberty. It was about liberty.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, there'd be no United States if it was not for the Lord. We need to claim this for God. Until God comes, hey, we need to go on and work for God. There's two reasons we're not gone yet. One is that we're still sending out missionaries. We're still the hub to reach the world. Amen. Amen. Okay. And the other is that we're still trying to reach this country. Third reason, throw this in, we're still back in Israel.
Yes, sir.
Well, we were till January 20th.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, what's my last point? Here it is. Okay. Had not been for the Lord, every one of us would have died without hope. Would have died without God. We'd wake up in a devil's hell. I can only testify for myself. The day God saved me, I wasn't looking for Him. I was looking to please my wife. I wasn't a dope head. I wasn't a drunkard. I was a self-righteous sinner. I was one of them who went to church Sunday and Easter. And that was to please Mama. Amen. Well, Barbara started visiting this little church, and I don't have time to get in all of it, but she was going on Wednesday nights. I worked second shift, and I'd come home Monday night, she's sleeping. Tuesday night, she's sleeping. Wednesday night, she'd been to church and heard that preacher, and every light's on, both porch lights are on. I mean, she's up, loaded for bear, amen. And I'd walk in the door, and she said, that preacher said. Amen. About the same time, I'd go to work, and this fellow finally got right with God. He was some kind of assembly God or church of God. He got right. I mean, he got fully right. And I didn't know him real well, but we worked on the same assembly line, sub-assembly plant. And I'd come into work, and he'd say, "Shock! You're going to burn! You need to be born again." Amen. I mean, he wouldn't say hello. "You're a sinner." I mean, he's pretty blunt. I'd say, "Well, okay. Have a good day." Amen. And then to beat all, Barbara was bringing these gospel tracts home from that church. And she was reading, and this lost woman's reading these gospel tracts, and she's putting them in a lost man's lunch for me to read at work. I'd read them at lunch. There's them chick tracts. And I'd be reading them, and some of the fellas come around, "What do you got there, Shock?" And they'd grab them up, and they'd take them reading, and then they'd bring them back, and they'd say, "You got any more of them comic books?" I mean, that went on for at least 3 weeks, maybe more. And I know it was at least 3 weeks. So I'm miserable. I come home, I'm miserable. I go to work, and I'm miserable. And she says, "I'm going to church Sunday and want you to go." This is my reaction. "Barbara, Sunday's the only day of rest."
Right.
Well, I went to please her. But when I got there, there was somebody there waiting on me.
Amen.
That church was friendly. Everybody shook my hand. They all wanted to talk to me about where I worked and all this. Then they started the service, and they were happy singing their songs. I didn't know none of them. Okay? And, boy, all that happiness went out that door when that man of God mounted the pulpit. He didn't even put his Bible on the pulpit. He held it in his hand. He was a little short man, about as wide as he was tall. This isn't really important, but he was losing his hair. So he parted it just above his ear. He combed it over and slicked it down. But when he got to preaching, all that loosened up. And that hair is hanging everywhere. And he's got them short, stubby fingers. And Barbara, I'll tell you now, we come in and we was going to sit in the back. But all the members were there. So it sits in the first empty pew. And it's right about where that brother's sitting right there. You're looking at me right now. That's about where we sat. Okay? He'd run to that wall, and he'd run to that wall. He opened up Luke 16. Began to preach about that rich man. Boy, he didn't leave anything for imagination. I mean, he covered all the bases. And then if he wanted to make a point, if I'm lying, I'm dying, he'd come down off that platform and stop and point that stubby finger.
Yeah.
He knew he had a sinner there.
Yeah.
I was thinking, why doesn't he point at somebody else? I was the sinner.
Yeah.
It's turn or burn.
Right.
Turn or burn.
But then
after he preached us into hell, after we sweat through it, I mean, I could feel the flames licking at my feet. I mean, I broke out in a sweat. I'm talking about now. That was the most miserable time. But he flipped that thing around. And he says, "The way of the cross leads home. You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus has made a way." Amen. Hey, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what conviction, you said conviction, I wouldn't know what you're talking about. I didn't know what repentance was. I'd heard about hell only because people invited me there. I went up. I was on this side of the altar. And there was somebody, what you're talking about, trying to read me another message, preach me another message. And boy, he was flipping back and forth all through there and all this. Barbara, she's over here on this side of the altar. Amen. And there was a lady with her. Hey, and we both popped up about the same time. Glory to God. Hey, God fixed a doubleheader. We both got in. Hey, we've been in church since. I count on one hand the times I've missed, and a couple of them was because of hospital and things. I couldn't get there. Amen. Hey, I had my gallbladder out and wanted to go to church. And Mama said, you can't go to church. You just had your gallbladder out. And I said, there's something missing when you can't be in church. Want to be in church. Hey, what he said, if it had not been the Lord, hey, we'd have died. We were hellbound. And the same thing's true for you. This thing's all about Him. Now, what's my thought? The devil wants to beat you down. But we're not going down.
Amen.
We're going up.
Amen.
And if the old devil waits long enough, we'll be out of here.
Amen.
All the way out of here.
Amen.
Because we're going up.
Amen.
What's the invitation? If you're not saved, you need to come.
Right.
God's thick here tonight.
Yeah,
boy, it'd be a wrong night to leave. Amen. Not do business. But then secondly, when was the last time you just thanked Him? It's all about Him.
Amen.
Where would you be if it had not been the Lord?
Amen.
I'm done, preacher. You come.